And the day the Torah, Tuesday night, Rabbi Naftali Homburg.
So, as you've all seen on the advert that came up Erev Shabbos about the shir, I've been getting a lot of flack about the topic of the shir, and you'll soon find out why. Well, I want to discuss a story about the Engeman. This is a story that happened over here. What he does is as follows. He imports matzis, which they make them obviously in Eretz Yisrael somewhere, and then he lives here, Manchester local. He imports them, he sells them over here, other places in London. He sells them all over the UK, the matzis that he imports from Eretz Yisrael. Fair enough. He tells me the way it works is a minimum order that he needs to order is 1,000 kilo of matzis. That's a MOQ of 1,000 kilo. He places the order in the beginning of the winter, roughly Hanukkah time. The order is shipped out soon over the next few days, around Purim time. And then he sells them, or he gives them out to the people living locally the week before Pesach. As we all know, the week before Pesach, the science can't pick up the matzahs from that address. The way the manufacturer, the matzah bakery, and Eretz Yisrael, the way they work, to process the order, they want 10% of the value of the order to pay up front to process the order. That's Hanukkah. They want an additional 25% before they release the matzahs, wherever it is, to release it from their warehouse, to ship it, it's another 25%. And then the balance, the remain, they're okay to wait until after he sells them. They understand, not everyone has the full amount. They wait a month, two, after Pesach, he pays them whatever he owes them. I don't know exactly how much he's paying every single kilo. I wouldn't give out the secrets, he didn't tell me. But let's assume for this year's sake, he's paying £25 every single kilo of matzah. So if his MOQ, his minimum order, is 1,000 kilo, he's placing an order of 25,000 pounds, which 2,500 pounds he already paid Hanukkah. He needs to give an additional 25%, which is just over 6,000 pounds, to release the order, and then the rest he will be paying after Pesach. He doesn't have the 6,000 pounds to send over this week that he needs to send over. So he had a very simple idea to offer early bird payments. He'll put up a sign. He wants to sell his matzahs for £32 a kilo, which you can come anytime, the week before Pesach. That's when most people want to come pick up the matzahs when the house is already clean for Pesach. Anyone who pays before Zayin Adar in the next week will get an early bird discount for £27 a kilo. Wow. Which sounds, you know, we people do this all the time.
£27 a week. So next week they'll have to fetch it.
No, you can come fetch whenever you want. You have to order and pay before Zayin Adar. He hopes to get 20-30 people who will come forward. Like that will raise the majority of the 6,000, and then, you know, he has the money to send over, and the rest, you know, is going to be his profit. Which is things that happen all the time. Is this Mutter, Aser, Mitzvah, Deraisa, Derabanan? This is what I want to discuss in tonight's shir. I do want to issue a disclaimer, hope this is also going on the recording, because I've been getting a lot of comments. This is a very delicate topic. Please do not rely on what we say over here, halacha l'maisa, because even though it might seem extremely similar to what we say over here, the nature of these kind of shalos, they are very, very nuanced, and with one small detail, one change in one detail, it can change from mutter gomer to aser gomer. That's why the point of this year is to at least raise awareness. To not do it sometimes it might even save us money, as you will soon see. If we did do it, we're not meaning the chayiv to pay. And if it comes to the ma'aser, please discuss this with a moira who understands what the business, the economy, everything, all the details, because these things can vary greatly from shayla to shayla. Baruch Hashem, there is a tremendous awareness locally. Things that you call in recently, you've learned from this, and it caused a lot of awareness internationally as well. I think one of the magazines recently ran a feature story about Reb Pinchas Vind in Yerushalayim, who he dedicated his life for this topic, Ribbis. He goes around all the whole Eretz Israel. He gives shiurim about Ribbis, the north, so everywhere he's giving shiurim about Ribbis. He actually set up a hotline, a Beisara, which is for Ribbis Shailas, where people call him all the time. He says, I don't know, 10, 12 hours a day, it's a man's phone line, where, you know, there's just everyday things, simple things. People like, you know, I borrowed my brother's car for some holidays. When I give back his car, can I buy him a box of chocolates, just, you know, to tell him thank you. Agabus Mutter, but whatever. That's not the focus of the shiur. Or even it's more complicated things, that everyday things. For example, I borrowed $1,000 from my friend for my trip to America. When I come back, I'm not allowed to give him back $1,000. Most cases, you're not allowed to give him back $1,000, just by the way. But yeah, he set up this hotline. There is actually, is trying to open up over here locally also a branch of this hotline. Hopefully in a few months it'll be up and running. It's extremely important to have local Moiras, local Rabbanim, who understand the local expectations, the local, you know, what people mean when they give money. Is that a loan? Is that an investment? It's very, very important to have a local Bisra. It might, hopefully it's going to be up and running over the next few months.
Well, I don't think you borrow a car in the past few months.
The short answer, which I mean, it really, this shaila deserves a shiur for itself. But the short answer, because the car is not on loan, it's not a halva. Rather, the car is still owned by the mashal, the one who gave the car. Mashenkin money. When you give over to your friend £100, he takes full possession, ownership over those £100. The one who lent the money lost. I mean, doesn't have any connection to that to the £100 that he gave to his friend. No, for it to be $1,000 and for $1,000, the reason why that would be us to give back $1,000would be us, sir. Why? In short, if someone borrows $1,000, they give back $1,000. What he borrowed, he did not borrow $1,000. He borrowed the pounds, the sterling equivalent of $1,000. So say when he borrowed $1,000, it was worth 750 pounds. Someone over here in Manchester who's traveling to America. Because if somebody in Manchester, this is very, very nuanced. If you are in New York and you're borrowing $1,000 and you're giving back $1,000, it's perfectly mutter. You borrow $1,000, giving back $1,000. If you are in Manchester locally and you borrow $1,000 for your trip to New York, and when you come back you give back $1,000, effectively when you borrow those $1,000, you didn't borrow $1,000. You borrowed the local currency equivalent, which was 750 pounds. If the price of the dollar is going to go up, and now it will cost 760 pounds to buy $1,000, which it fluctuates all the time. So it's a 50-50, it's going to go up or down. If it's going to be more than one pruta more, it's going to be us to give back the same $1,000 because it has a greater value. There are ways how to get around it, but Yeshla is one of the terms. What is called Yeshla? If you have it in the bank account, if you have to have it by you, the currency denomination. I said it just deserves a share for itself. You know, that's, Yes. I just wanted to mention a quick story, because I see it is getting there, I'm going to say it briefly, that brings out the importance of being aware of the halachis of ribis, and, you know, being nizer. It's a story I heard many years ago from the Chasam Sofer, and the story goes as follows. The Chasam Sofer one time saved up a large sum of money to marry off one of his children. Now, he didn't need the money exactly when he had the money. He had a few months till he owed the money to his mechutin or whatever it is. There was a local Oysher who lived with him in Prishborg over there, who knew that the Chasam Sofer had in his possession this large sum of money. He came over to the Chasam Sofer and he says, "You know, Rebbe, I know you have this large sum of money. I was offered a brilliant deal. I need this 200 rice taler, whatever it was, a large sum of money. Can I borrow for 6 months? And then when you need it, just let me know. I'm going to give it back to you. You know, I can profit in the meantime, but you won't lose anything." Chasef was a bit hesitant, back and forth. And at the end of the day, he agreed. The loan went forward. They made a shtar with a raven. 6 months have passed, and believe it or not, this guy comes back, and he actually pays back the loan in full. And they come, Chasam Sofer stands there, and they count the money. The debt was repaid in full. This Aisha turns to the Chasam Sofer, pulls out of his pocket a little silver tabak pishka, a silver snuff box, which he tells the Chasam Sofer, "Thank you so much for the loan. I appreciate it so much. I profited greatly from that deal. It doubled, it tripled in these 6 months. I give you back, you know, I'm not allowed to give you anything back. Just a little token of appreciation, a card's type. Here's this little tabak pishka I commissioned by the local silversmith to make special for you with your name embossed, you know, with the rav." So the Chasam Sofer takes this box. See, you know the story. He takes this box and he starts, you know, admiring the beautiful engravings, and it was a masterpiece. And he turns it, he opens it up, and upside down. And, you know, he's very, very, you know, nispal. He's admiring it. He starts oohing and aahing, as they say, about this box. And then he turns to this Aisha and he tells him, you know, I would love to take this box, but it is ribis, I'm not allowed to take it. So as much as I love it, please take this back, and I'm not allowed to accept it, receive it. So he sees that this Aisha is standing over there, he's looking shtickle puzzled. You know, it's not really the Chassid Sefer's type to, you know, to get so connected to this silver box. And then if it's ribis, just don't tell me it's ribis. I don't want to be mashal anyone ribis. So the Chassid Sefer explains them as follows. Chazal, it's actually a Gemara, they gave a terrible curse to somebody who lends ribis. Chazal says, someone who's malvib ribis, nechosav mismoitetin, he'll lose all his money. On the other hand, toiva midam ruba, if someone is careful in the nechosav ribis, they gave him a big bracha, nechosav misbarchim v'oilim, he'll be prosperous, there will be a key into his wealth. Chazal were medayg this in a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim says, es kast boi le'nosam b'neshech, v'shoychad al noki le'lokach, oisa eile le'yemait. One who does not give ribis will not be mismoitet, he will have a bracha kiyim to his wealth. The Chassid Sefer says, if I would be saying this drasha, I would say, somebody who doesn't lend ribis is going to have a bracha. But if you look in the Gemara, I have it here in front of me, the Gemara says a very interesting twist, it's an interesting lashon. It says, call me sheyesh loy mois, someone who has money, umal ve'oisam, and he lends them sheloy b'ribis, and he lends them without interest, olav akasav oymer kaspa loy nosam b'neshech. The Chassid Sefer explained, Mavur over here, it's not pshat if someone doesn't give ribis, he will have this bracha. If someone who has an assignment to take ribis, and he's careful, the Zahirus is the one that brings this bracha. Al Taymar e Efshi. Efshi of Efshi. Nor Elamaz, Shabbisha Shabbam Gazar Alai. The Chassid Sefer says, me as a Rav from town, he said, I get a wage from the Kehila. Pretty much whatever I get, I spend right away. There's not too much left. I don't have to borrow much. I don't have to lend much. I don't have the opportunity to do business and to lend money, beribis, to be careful with the halakhas ribis. Over here, I had an opportunity to receive ribis. I wanted to magnify Chazal's bracha, the Birkas Hashem. That's why I put myself in a matzah. Well, it would have been kedai to take this, and I'm only not taking it because Chazal don't let me to receive more of this bracha that Chazal said in Chazal of Mizbarchim Vayelim. It's the being careful, the awareness of the Hilchas Ribis that brings this bracha. Just a ma'aser to bring out that, you know, the everyday things that we do, we have to just be aware, just think, maybe it might be Ribis, is it Mutter, is it Azir?
Would we come back a week later and we'd see this Oishan and we'd give later, would it be Mohatha?
The master, it would still be Asr. Because it's very clear because of the Chav. Yeah. If it would be, you know, for me through business or something, acquaintance, yeah. But because it's direct, yeah. That's how we pass in our days. Good point. I'm going back to our child, this person who imports masses, and if he's trying to raise 6,000 pounds as part of this order that he owes his upstream supplier, he wants to sell his early bird discount. Is it Mutter or is it Asr?
What do you mean it's Asr?
We're soon gonna explain. If you have inshallah at the end of this year, we're gonna. Now we are accustomed. Ribis is obviously someone who lends 100 pounds and give me back in 6 months' time 110. This is gonna be obviously the Issa ribis that we all know. But the Gemara says more than that. Call agernater. Any time someone is going to benefit from awaiting repayment, asr. Any benefit. When Chazal say any benefit, they mean any benefit is going to be asr. Effectively, what's happening over here, which is clearly evident, is the people who are lending him 27 pounds are going to receive in a month's time a 32 pound product in return, which is much greater to what they gave. Why? When I come into a shop and I buy a loaf of bread, so I have 2 pounds, I walk into a shop and I walk out with a loaf of bread. Before I walked into the shop, or after I walk out of the shop, I don't owe the shopkeeper anything. And he doesn't owe me anything. We just simultaneously swap my 2 pounds for his loaf of bread. But if I would walk in and I would tell him, look, take 2 pounds now. Next week I'm going to come and pick up a loaf of bread. So he, the shopkeeper, now owes me 2 pounds or the equivalent in the bread. But there's now a chav that he owes me. He owes me something. Now, Chazal said, that is called psika. Not only if he will give you two loaves of bread, or a loaf of bread of greater value, even if he will give you the exact same loaf of bread that you would have picked up, would have been mutter, this is going to be asr. Why? We are scared there might be some other benefit mixed in. The price of bread might go up over the week and become 2 pounds 10. He committed to give me a loaf of bread. Therefore, Chazal said asr. Seemingly, this case of this yingeman is going to be asr to offer early bird payments.
That's different. He's giving 2 pounds for the same 2 pounds. They give me a discount 10%.
Well, it's going to be even worse. But it's, so it was like, it's going to be aser. So any early bird,
£2 seems to be okay.
Even that Chazal Aser, no, because it might be an increase in price.
The box is only worth £27.
But he's managing to sell them for £32 in a month's time. The week before Pesach, when you're going to come pick up the matzahs, but the person who gave £27, he's getting a return of product that's worth £32.
But the value is £25.
The value is, I would say, 32. That's what it costs him. But if he can sell it for 32, or take it more, the person who's paying that £27, why is he paying that £27? So some people say, you know, you want to, you know, he has money, he's not your heir, he wants to spread out his cost. The majority of people is because they want to lock in today's price. Today there's a nice discount, he's buying 10 kilo, he's paying £270 instead of £320. That's what's going on in the majority of people's head. It's called early bird discount for a reason. I mean, that's what people do all the time. You will all ask me, so what's Takif Shad on all the people who do early bird discount? We always see sign up now or whatever. When, in what cases will it be mutter to offer prepayment or early bird discounts or psika or all these cases? If Chazal answer all these things. So in short, there's three or four heterim that Chazal say that if you have one of those three or four heterim, you'll be mutter to offer prepayment or early bird discount. Yeshlei is the first heter. We're going to explain each one. Yeshlei is the first heter. The second heter is Yotzav Shar, if there's a set price. The third heter, if there's no Shuma. And then there's a fourth heter that's not mentioned in the Chazal, but the poiskim today bring out, we'll soon get it, that Bizman Azeh, there is another heter which in business might apply very much. The first heter, the Chazal say, is Yeshlei. If the seller has the product in his possession, then it will be mutter to offer an early bird discount. The reason for that being, why? Because Chazal's view as a virtual kinyan is going on right now. Even Mishapara, they call that a virtual kinyan, even though the product is still in the possession of the seller. But it says if the buyer has already acquired it and took ownership over the matzis, and that's why Chazal said in this case we're not worried about ribbis, because it's as if it already belongs to him. He received now a product. It's the same as the case that I'm going into the shop and walking out with a £2 loaf of bread. It's happening simultaneously. Then this is the most common heter that they use it a lot in the food industry, the kosher food industry, where there's two options. Either to take now, and I mean to say, wholesalers use it a lot. They offer either you take now the product and pay 60 days, or if you pay now, you get a cheaper price. Why is that mutter? Because they have the pallets of pickles, whatever they have. They have it right here and there. Warehouse in Manchester, local, whatever the warehouse is, they have it here. Once they have it here, they can say the price now you pay now is going to be, you know, this price. There are a few ha'aras which you would have to always look. That's why I said we cannot rely on this lemaisa, because there are a few ha'aras the place can speak out. What's called that he has matzis? What happens if he has them, you know, they're still in transit, in shipment? So he doesn't have them locally. Would that be here? So they belong to him. But there isn't a way. So the Gemara says, "Achiyave bani, wait till my son is going to come bring is going to be mutter." So if they belong to him when they are in transit, so they're his, that pashas would be mutter. But what happens if there are different cases where he is committed to his upstream supplier to buy it. So his upstream supplier is committed to him as well. Was that considered that he has it? So he doesn't have possession.
You said that this 25% he gives before he releases it.
So he's in contract, and they're in contract with him, but they're not his. Now, so there is a Muslim that the Gemara calls Ashroy b'Mosa. He has the ability, when people owe him this product, he gave it to someone, or he has the ability to obtain this product. Would that be okay or not?
It's our contract. It's a verbal.
There must be a case where someone owes him this product.
A verbal contract.
More than just verbal. Someone owes this to him. So he doesn't have it in his ownership. He doesn't have it by list, but he has a way how to obtain it easily from his friend.
You're saying Yeshua now can order the stuff, and he owes him the stuff. But that's even that's Yeshua. It's not even in his possession anymore. That's everywhere.
I mean, if somebody really, really has someone who's committed to him to supply him, it's chayav.
Yeah.
So
is that chayav?
Yeah, so this area, because it applies very much, is a very sticky area. Past this, again, let's not rely on this, the Maisa. This heter of someone is mechuyif who owes it to you, you are in contract with somebody else, will just help you for if you're getting it for the market value. It will not help you to give early bird discounts. There's a big arichas for this. Again, really, each one of these heterim can get his own share. Anyways, well, let's just hurry up and get cram through the rest of the share. We're already going into overtime. Heter number two is Yotza Hashar. If there's a set price for these masses, then we're going to be able to rely on the Shar. The reason for that being is because there's no benefit anymore for me giving the seller money. I can go buy this any shop for this price. The prime example for this is, let's say, a bottle of Coke. I could go buy it in Tesco for a pound. So the fact that I tell you I'm giving you now a pound and you supply me in a week's time a bottle of Coke, there's no problem, because the malveh, the buyer, does not have any benefit from this thing. Again, over here, this is only mutter because there's a fixed price. The caveat with this hat is going to be, obviously, because you cannot offer any early bird discount, just whatever the going price is, but you will be able to lock in today's price. Now, the Poskim do speak about this heter, what's called a fixed price. They all speak about, let's say, petrol. Is that called a fixed price? There is a fixed price, but the fact that the price might go up in 3 hours. Or how about there's a shaila about, let's say, foreign currency. So it's constantly fluctuating on, but if you go to the post office, they have a sign, today we buy for that, we sell for that. Is that called a fixed price? So there is somewhere where it's set for a few hours, a few days. So what is called a fixed price is very, very fluid term. Again, when a mayorah should be consulted what a fixed price is. The third heter is something that is not a clearly defined price, which is any custom-made product, a custom-made bookcase, or something that's just similar but a little bit different is, let's say, a used car. A used car, even if you know the make and the model, and even the year, it can be, you know, I tell you, I'm selling you a used minivan. If I could tell you it's worth $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, it all makes sense. Why? Because there are many factors that go into a price of a used car. So something that doesn't have a clearly defined price, and I tell you, if you pay me now, I can give you that and that car for £5,000, even though we know it's worth $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, and we know in our head it's because I'm prepaying, I'm locking in a great price, because it is not clear, it's not nicker, that I'm giving you a product of greater value, Chazal also didn't ask it. The fourth heter, which the Poskim bring down, which is not mentioned in Chazal, but it's very, very common to give post-dated checks, or, you know, forward payments, or partial payments, anywhere where the seller would have agreed to receive post-dated checks, the Moshel. So he's just proving, the reason why he's giving a good price, not because he wants the money, he just he wants to guarantee that he has clients, when he's making a large order, he has, you know, 20-30% of his clientele should be already booked in. If he's offering even some of his clients the option of post-dated checks, even though the ones who are paying up front, and they are receiving a benefit, it's not because of the money that they lent, rather it's just because they are agreeing to take from him when it comes. It is over time, I'm sorry about that. I'll just finish off with a bracha. B'schus l'zehiris of in the mitzvah of ribbit, which will all be zeicha to the birkas Hashem, he tashir, and siyat d'shmai l'chol ma'asir deyna.